Hi, my name is Matt. I'm an English teacher, and this is a recording of a free lesson that I did recently on whiziq.com. We're using material from the Talk A Lot free spoken English course, which is a free download from englishbanana.com/talkalot. If you'd like to attend the next online lesson, please visit www.whiziq.com/Matt Perland. We're going to look at slang. What does it mean, slang words? Slang? What are slang words? Any ideas? Type in the box if you know, if you can tell us about slang words. Informal language. Okay, Christina's got secret language. Yes, it's informal language. So it's like we have the dictionary word for something which everybody knows, and then we have a slang word for it. Oh, Nadia's looked up in the dictionary. Yeah, so it's a word that is restricted to certain groups of people. Okay, colloquial words, said Hugo. It's, for example, if I say, do you want a cup of tea? Yeah, you probably know what I mean, right? If I said to you, do you want a cup of tea? Yeah, I'm assuming you know that, because they're dictionary words. Cup, tea, everybody knows them. If I say, do you want a cup of cha? Char, would you know char? So, it's not phrasal verb, Nadia. This is slang words. Oh, phrasal verbs are not my cup of tea. Okay. Now you're using idioms as well. So, cup of char. Char is another word for tea. It's a slang word. It's not official. It's not official word. The official word is tea, yeah? Or do you fancy a cuppa? Do you fancy a cuppa? Cuppa? Cup of tea. Cup of tea. Cup of tea. So in England we often have a cuppa. We don't have a cup of tea, but we have a cuppa. It's slang. It's very common. Most people know it. But it's not official language, it's not the official thing. Okay, that's just one example. So let's have a look at our hotel words. This comes to you from Unit 1. It's Talk A Lot Book Intermediate Book 1. So this is the new book that I'm writing now, Talk A Lot Intermediate, Book 1. Intermediate book has a lot of stuff for learners at this level, things like idioms, phrasal verbs, slang, non-literal language. Non-literal language. So we're looking at this topic, non-literal. It's something where the meaning is hidden by the language. So that's what I mean. Do you fancy a cuppa? Or do you fancy a cup of cha? Then the meaning is hidden by the language. It's not literal. It's not obvious. Okay. And that's what we have to deal with at the intermediate level and above. Okay. So, we're going to look at 20 words and phrases to do with hotel. Slang that we might find in a hotel context. Yeah, in the hotel context. I hope so, Nadia, because if not, then I maybe I'm one of those people who have changed the language because of an accident or maybe somebody hit me on the head when I was going home. Okay, let's have a look at it now. We're going to study these. This is going to be free download. I'll put it on WizIQ later, so you can download it. The idea is here that you cut out, if you're the teacher, you cut out all the cards, and the students have to match the slang on the white cards, like here, for example, with the grey, with the ones on the grey, with the definitions on the grey cards. Okay. So, in this lesson, we're just going to look at the meaning straight away. But I want to study them in a bit more detail. But if you're doing this in the classroom, you could try putting students matching the slang with the meaning. And here are 20, but it may be your students just want to do 10. So you don't have to do everything. If it's too much slang, yeah. If it's too much slang, then just do 10 or 5 or 6. But anyway, they're going to pick them up, they're going to learn them, and when they see it or hear it in the context, they'll know what it means. That's the whole point. And what I'm saying is, we should try and teach and learn slang like any other vocabulary, because these are words that we use all the time, words and phrases that we use. Okay. I'm going to go through this quickly and listen carefully. Write down any slang that you find interesting, okay, and type in the box if you have any comments or any questions. But I want to get through the meanings, and then we're going to do some work based on that, alright? So, number one, punter. Punter is somebody, customer. A customer in a service industry. So, for example, in a hotel, you might be a punter. You're paying money and you're going to the hotel. Maybe you're a punter in your school, in your language school. It's kind of derogatory word for a customer. So that means somebody's looking down on you. It's kind of a negative word. In my school, where I work, we have students or learners, but maybe some people think of them as punters, just paying customers. Okay, next we've got number two, skiver. If somebody's a skiver, then they're really lazy person. This comes from the verb to skive. Maybe at school your friend is in there, and you can say, "Where's your friend today? Oh, he's skiving." And also makes a phrasal verb to skive off. So if I skive off work, I take a day off, I'm lazy, I don't go to work. Yes, hello Mohammed, welcome to the lesson, and everybody else too. Three, a dump. You know, this hotel is a real dump. It's usually a building. It's a place which is not very attractive. Maybe a bit shabby. Not a very good place. Maybe it's 1 star or 2 star. Instead of 4 star, you know. Aggro. So this is uncountable noun. Some aggro. Do you want to cause some aggro today? Maybe some violence, some shouting, maybe a bit of fighting, trouble, causing, we used it together with the verb to cause. That may be cause some aggro. Think about what situation you might be in. For example, in a hotel, who might cause some aggro, for example? What kind of customer? Maybe somebody that's not happy with the hotel. Drunkards, says Nadia. Drunk people, some drunks, maybe some teenagers causing some aggro. Potential violence. It's kind of creating a bad atmosphere. Okay. Number 5. Time, gentlemen, please. This goes back to the days when all English pubs closed at 11 p.m. All English pubs closed. So the barman or whoever was working there used to shout about 10:45. They would shout, "Time, gentlemen, please." That's to everybody there, and it really means buy your last drinks. Yeah, buy your last drinks. The bar will close soon, in 15 minutes, usually. So, time please, could be. Or just time, gentlemen, please, yeah. Good, Roman, thanks for your comments. Good that you're enjoying it. No, Nadia, it's something to do with the pub, or a bar. So you couldn't use it in your English class. Or you could use it in a kind of ironic way or funny way, yeah, if you're teaching it. But it's really to do with the bar, it's going to close. Okay, a no-show is somebody who doesn't turn up. So let's say a client in a hotel, they booked it, but they didn't come. If you're a teacher like me, you know, you meet this kind of person sometimes, hopefully not that often. A no-show, somebody who booked a lesson but didn't turn up. Now sometimes you might get paid for a no-show, you might get paid even if they don't come. But for an online class as well, a no-show is somebody who said they were coming but they don't bother coming. So if you, let's say, they've already paid you, it doesn't matter if they don't come, really. That's being a bit nasty, but it doesn't matter to you. No show. Yeah, a teacher can be a no show. If the teacher doesn't turn up, so phrasal verb, doesn't come to the lesson. Yeah, teacher can be the no show. Somebody that you're expecting but doesn't turn up. Okay. 7, maybe you know this one. Full English is full English breakfast. So that's the very fatty breakfast for the English people like. Bacon, eggs, sausages, mushrooms. Yeah. All that stuff. I don't like it. I don't eat it because I'm vegetarian. But it's not healthy. But it's known as an English breakfast or a full English. Or could also be, you could also say fry up. A fry up. That you're frying everything together. Oh, Christina's husband loves it. Those traditional English food. Yeah. Cuisine. English cuisine. Okay, next one is a good, really good slang word, pigsty. This room is a pigsty. You know, walk into the classroom and you could say it. Walk into your house at home, your children's rooms, bedrooms. Pigsty. Sty is where the pig lives. That's the home of the pig. And pigs are very tidy. Quite clean animals, really, but we give them a bad press, and we say it's a negative thing, a pigsty, an untidy room. My parents would maybe say to me when I was a little boy, "Your room is a pigsty. Tidy up. Tidy it up." Yeah. Okay. Number 9. Travel bore. Well, again, you might guess this. A bore is a person who is boring. Boring person. So, a travel bore is a boring person who goes on and on about their travelling. And we sometimes meet them, these kind of people. "Oh, you know, when I was in Rome, I did this." And okay. But I'm not interested, yeah. Boring person who talks about themselves too much and their travels. Okay, Nadia has seen this before in the course books. That's good. Watering hole is technically is the place for animals in the middle of a desert or kind of outback. It's a place where there's water, there's maybe a lake or pond, and animals gather there to rest, to eat, to have a drink. And so this becomes a place like a restaurant or diner or bar, anywhere where you can just rest, have something to eat. So Tammy's got good questions. What does SBY mean? Somebody, Tammy. But it's very good question. That's abbreviation. Yeah, the other abbreviations here, that's like noun. N is noun. V is verb. PHR is phrase. N is uncountable noun. So maybe I should have explained that to start with. Okay. Good. But good, thanks for asking that. Place for animals to drink. So we talk about a watering hole. It's a place where maybe you've been travelling for a long time, and you can stop and be fed, have something to eat. Yeah. 11. Grubs up. Well, this is a phrase that means your food is ready. So grub is slang for food. Sometimes we talk about pub grub, that is food in a pub, that's served in a pub, and it's standard things like chips, beef burgers, sausages, shepherd's pie, you know, meat, some kind of meat. Pub grub. So I wouldn't expect to hear this phrase in a good restaurant, but maybe in a cafe or a greasy spoon. That's a really sort of low quality kind of cafe. Hello, Dim Genik. Thanks for joining us. So, next one, number 12, to chillax. Have you heard this verb? To chillax. So, it's kind of a mixture of the word to chill, which means to relax, and yeah, like chill out and relax. So chillax, chillax. This compound verb or combination verb, combination of these two things, and it's kind of quite modern slang. Oh, I've been chillaxing this afternoon by the pool. It's not something I would say. I would never say it, because it's kind of a nerdy thing to say. Not cool. So I'm not saying that I'm cool or always cool or ever cool, but my friends would probably laugh if I used this type of phrase. Chillax. Okay, next one, I'm sure you know this, the boss. The boss? It's the manager. It's the owner, or the person in charge. Yeah, whoever is the top dog, if you like. Yeah. That's maybe the easiest one here. Awesome. Something is awesome, it is absolutely great, it's wonderful. And this is American slang. Yeah, Madrid knows this, Nadia knows this one. Awesome, man! Awesome, dude! Yeah. And it's getting more common in English, British English as well. It's funny because the word awesome means something that is very inspires awe, you know. Like something from the Bible, you know, is awe-inspiring. That is something takes your breath away. It's incredible. But now we use it for things which are quite trivial, like, oh, have you seen the new film? Yeah, it was awesome, man. You know, awesome, like, it's like if you saw, gosh, maybe the Northern Lights in the north of Scotland, or maybe the volcano erupting. It's awesome. It's an awesome sight because it's so incredible. But we've kind of trivialized it, and now it just means good, very good, great. Yeah, okay. Next one is quite interesting. Imagine if you go to a restaurant and you have a waiter who's kind of looks down their nose at you, and they make you feel small and very proud, arrogant. You might say to your friend, your partner, oh, he's a jumped up little waiter. You know, he's just a waiter. Why is he being so arrogant? Why is he being big-headed? So somebody is jumped up. It could apply to any profession or anybody. Yeah, some shop assistants look at customers in this way, says Nadia. Jumped up little idiot. Yeah, somebody who is maybe too big for their boots is another way to say another idiom. Someone who is too proud. Who goes saying, I've heard in America people say shorty. I think it's, that means a girlfriend. As far as I know, that Hugo, that means shorty is like my girlfriend or woman. And I'm guessing because that's often, not every time, but often the woman is shorter than the man in the relationship. Don't shoot me for saying that. I don't know if that's where it comes from. Yeah, that's right, Christina. Jumped up little shop assistant. A jumped up little doctor. A jumped up little politician. Yeah. Somebody that making you feel, who's making you feel small. Yeah. Okay. Good. Next is bangers and mash. So if you live in England, or if you've been to England, you maybe enjoyed some of our famous cuisine. So like the full English breakfast. or bangers and mash, so it's sausages and mashed potatoes. And you have a whole plate of mashed potatoes and pop some nice dark brown or black sausages in there, well cooked, and then you can chop them all up together, mash it all together. Maybe add some baked beans as well on the top, a bit of ketchup. And I know you're getting hungry now when I describe it. But delicious. I don't eat now because I don't eat meat, but I've had it. And sausages, that was my favourite meat, really. And it's popular in Russia, says Nadia. So sausage and mash. Or bangers and mash. Bangers are the sausages. Yeah. Maybe the way we cook them, you know, because if we don't prick the skin, they can explode, they can poof, poof, like bang, can't they? So, I'm not an expert on cooking them, but... Merv is saying behaving uppity, that was to do with being jumped up. Yeah, somebody is uppity, uppity little something. Yeah? That's the same kind of meaning. Good. Next one. 17. Kids eat free. This is a sign you would maybe see in a restaurant. And it's quite self-explanatory. Kids is slang for children. Most people would... I don't know, most people would say kids or children, but I would tend to say children rather than kids. Okay, next one. Argy bargy. So listen to how I say it. Argy bargy. Do you want some argy-bargy? A bit of argy-bargy? Yeah, a bit of. No, we don't, says Medrad. Medad, sorry. No, he doesn't. Do you want some argy-bargy? Do you want to fight? Do you want to fight? You want some? Do you want some of this? Or a piece of me? It's more slang coming out. Yeah. Argy bargy. We had a bit of argy bargy in the lesson the other day. Some fighting. Yeah. Good. Okay, bye Mohammed. See you next time, I hope. Argy bargy. It has the feeling of something physical, maybe some pushing, some punching, a bit of fighting, you know, and also several people are involved in this. So aggro was the kind of the thought of violence or the threat of violence, aggressive behavior, aggro, aggression. But argy bargy, that's actually some fighting. That's when it kicks off. A phrasal verb there. It all kicks off. You know, you could say all kicked off last night at hotel, whatever. There was some argy bargy, aggro. Good. Okay, nearly there now. 19. A salad dodger is somebody who doesn't eat salad, so avoids salad. So in fact they dodge, they're kind of dodging it. They're actively avoiding it. Yeah. Are you a salad dodger? Somebody that's fat, a fat person. A salad dodger. So it's kind of slang for that. Based on the idea that fat people don't eat healthy food. So, whether that's true, I don't know, but it's kind of derogatory term, again, derogatory, for a fat person, an obese person. You know, if you come on Saturday to my lesson about political correctness, we'll look at some more terms that, for example, for fat people, or for things which are thought to be negative. We'll look at polite ways to say this. For example, somebody is not fat, they're just big. They're big. So big, it's okay, we can say, my cousin is really big, you know, he's big. Not fat. Euphemism, says Merv. Good. That's right, it's a euphemism. Another good one is, we could say, big boned. You know, my son isn't fat, he's not obese, he's just big boned. You know, he's got big bones. Yeah. Which is a good euphemism and good excuse as well. Especially in America, says Dim Kenick. Well, you said, I didn't say that, but you said that. Yeah. Blame the bones. Yeah, but anyway, we need some polite phrases, right? We can't just walk around saying, oh, he's fat or she's fat. It's not very nice and not polite and kind of taboo now in our society to do that. And the last one we come to is bloody. So this is really the only naughty word, we can say, or swear word in this group. I would say it's quite mild swear word, but it is taboo word, it's not polite, and we shouldn't say it in particular places. So let's say, for example, of a situation. I was driving along the street, and then suddenly somebody walked in front of my car, okay, and I had to stop really suddenly. The bloody idiot. Bloody idiot. So idiot is already bad, it's something negative about somebody. But bloody is like, makes it worse. It's intensifier, Tommy. It's intensifier. So it means really or very. It's so, university canteen, it's not a good place to use this word, Nadia's asking. But it depends who you're talking to. If you're talking to friends who always use this kind of language, then fine. To teachers, no. No, it's not appropriate. So I wouldn't say to my grandma. She would be very surprised, I think, if I said that. Oh, you know, I've had a bloody hard day at work today, Grandma. Bloody hard. But no, I wouldn't say that to Grandma. Really hard. Really bad. Really hard. Christina's saying, my husband and their friends use this word a lot. Yeah, but I'm sure they choose when they going to use it. Yeah, only between friends, says Christina. Yeah, it's not appropriate with your manager, with your maybe your parents, unless they also share this kind of speech, this kind of language with you. I'm just looking for something. Okay. So, yeah, somebody, Christina is saying, bloody hell. Yeah, that's an expression, like you're very upset or very frustrated. And again, not polite. Not polite. And Dim Gannick said, that was a bloody good meal. So, in this context, it's something positive, right? It's a good meal, but he's making it more positive. Bloody good meal. But it depends who is listening, who is the audience, who are you with when you say it. I wouldn't say that to my parents, my dad even, for example, because we don't have this kind of very informal relationship, like we can say anything, any word. This is taboo in my family, and maybe in your school as well will be taboo. But it's, we hear it, it's on TV, it's when you're watching English language things, it's around, you know. Christina's in the UK and her husband's using that, and maybe you've got something like it in your language too. I've just been to a lesson where we looked at these slang words, and one student said, came up with this sentence. Let me type it. I'm bloody sorry. And he's taken it like, really sorry. But we can't use it like that, because I'm sorry, it's something very gentle, isn't it? And very calming, and you know, something you feel down, you feel sad. So it's not necessary, it's not right in this context, because it sounds strange. Yeah, says Tim Koenig. Yeah, it sounds strange because it's an aggressive word in a kind of gentle sentence. Okay, good. So what I want to do now, ask somebody to come on the microphone today, and look at a few of these words with me, and think of some sentences or situations when you might want to use some of these words. So who wants to start us off? Oh, Dim Gannick saying, I wouldn't say it to kids. So again, with our children, we want to use different kinds of words, not this. Yeah, I don't want my daughter to say, "Ooh, had a bloody bad day today." It's too coarse. It's not very nice, you know. It says something about our character, our personality, without becoming too snobbish. Yeah, but it's not some kind of language that we aspire to, that we use to make us better people. From the mouth of
hello.
A nice girl, no.
Yeah.
Okay. Put
yeah.
Your hand up if you would
I'm
like
here.
To join in now and speak on the mic. Okay. So Christina's coming.
Okay.
Hello. Okay. So I want you to choose
which
one of these phrases and just tell me when.
Ah, okay. Oh, sorry.
Kind of sentence or context.
A dump. When for example, is not a good place. You know, like
so
maybe humid.
The
words was not good in the not conditions. The wall is not in condition. All the place is in not good condition. Maybe sometime could be tidy or dirty.
Okay.
Last year I went on holiday and the hotel was was a damp place.
Okay. So what sort of sentence place. Would you say with
a damp? No need to say away. Place. Okay, a damp. Yeah.
A dump.
What
a dump.
A travel a board.
Yeah.
A travel board.
No need to say place. God. Okay. Yeah, the hotel
board.
Was a dump.
Travel board.
Horrible. Was
yes,
nice.
Like
okay. Anything else? Different.
My father-in-law is a travel a board because I can say you know. Always speak about the work when he was at in Indonesia. just a sentence. Travel
bore. Good. Okay. Yeah, so exactly. Travel bore. You know, you might also be a food bore, or a wine bore.
Archibargy.
Or maybe to do with
Archibargy. I heard a lot, but you know, don't use this word.
Archibargy.
I can say.
Okay. Anything
now,
else?
With the World Cup. Watching
Archibargy.
Football match. Sometimes Archibargy when people start discussing, arguing, fighting. I cannot say the sentence. Now in June, when the World Cup start, it's possible Archibargy in the book is possible to find not
football hooligans maybe
to be.
Yeah. To be. Good, Christina. Okay. Thanks a lot. Yeah, there might be some argy-bargy in the World Cup, that's for sure. In fact, I think there will be. Let's look at some what people are typing in the box here. Malgosha's got, you're the boss here, Matt. So, okay, in the lesson, I'm the boss at this stage. Dim Ganik saying, such a dump. Yeah, so a place that wasn't very nice. Hotel, guest house, bed and breakfast, or even somebody else's house, you know. If you go for a meal with somebody and you don't like their house, oh, it was a real dump. You know, the living room was a pigsty. And so we can use these together. Okay. Dim Ganik saying you could meet a travel bore in every train, or maybe on every train, but good. Yeah, that's true. Somebody who will just take away your will to live by telling silly stories, long stories. Yeah, your will to live. Gosh is saying, do you know any nice watering holes in Alston? Yes, I think maybe the Irish pub in Alston. It's a nice place. Watering hole. Place for a drink, for relax, sit down. Nadia's saying, going sightseeing in Rome, we dropped into some nice watering holes. Yeah. And had or ate a local snack. So you need second verb there, Nadia. Yeah. It's very common, watering hole, but it's slang, and it's something that's not familiar. It's not in the dictionary. It's in the slang dictionary. Okay, Nadia's saying they serve bangers and mash. Here, that's so, sausages and mashed potato. Merv saying, have you met Sue? No, she was a no-show. Yeah, did she turn up? Did Bob turn up to the lesson? No, he's a no-show. Hisham saying, my boss is awesome, but he is a salad dodger. God. Yeah. So he's maybe awesome, but he's a little bit overweight or big, as we should say. Dim Kanik, if you're a salad dodger, you have to become a salad eater. So, yeah, don't dodge, but go directly towards the salad. Yeah. Okay. So, what I want to do quickly, thanks a lot, Christina, and everybody else for typing in there. We haven't much more time. But I want to have a little quiz now. If I ask you some questions, then type in the box which one I mean. This is a slang word. Oh, it's like a test, Nadia. But I'm not going to give you a certificate at the end. Okay. Just for fun. So, find a slang word which means this. Type in the box, please. Something that you would use with a friend, but maybe not with your grandma, or certainly not with my grandma. It's a word that I wouldn't use. It's kind of taboo. Bloody, says Merv. Medrad, Christina, Nadia. Yes, don't use it when you meet my grandma. Unless she'll be upset. How that? What about a word that you could use to talk about a colleague who wasn't working as hard as you? Somebody who wasn't working as hard as you. So he's a, or she's a skiver. Yep. He's a real skiver. Christina's got it. Merv, Imkanik, Nadia. Or in where I come from in Derby, we'd say he's a right skiver. Right skiving and then bad words. I can't teach all the naughty words today. Skydiver, no. He's a right skiving bleep. No, skiving, then very naughty word for somebody. Yeah. Maybe we'll do that another lesson, but I don't know if I'm allowed even. This is something that you might hear in an English pub at around 10:45 at night. So what phrase am I thinking of? Maybe not so much nowadays, because they close at different times. Time, gentlemen, please. Nadia, Merv, Christina. Good. And polite phrase, please. It's nice polite to say please. This is a phrase you might hear in a greasy spoon cafe to indicate your meal is ready. Nice kind of a nice phrase, yeah. Grubs up. Hey, grubs up. Yeah. Grubs up. Grub is up. Your grub is up. Your food is ready. In a more maybe more posher house, you might hear, dinner is served, madam. Yeah. Dinner is served. Grab, not grab, Nadia. Grub. But we don't know why grub. Grub is also an insect. A little tiny caterpillar. Like a caterpillar. So, doesn't make sense. Why grub? I don't know. Dinner is served, madam. That's what Nadia likes. Maybe that's what you have in your house, Nadia. but in my house, more like grubs up. Okay. What about a word or phrase that is a good example of great British food? Great British cuisine. Any ideas? Ooh, so many to choose from. Full English. Yeah. Bangers and mash. What about this one as well? Do you know this meal? Shepherd's pie. Nice English food. It's veg, it's minced meat, and on the top potatoes. Mashed potato, and maybe a bit of cheese on the top of that. Yeah. Merv saying delicious. It's good for shepherds, people that look after sheep. Yeah. And good for... good for everyone else too. Nadia is feeling hungry, but you can't. It's too late, Nadia, now. Yeah. Okay, well, Medred saying awesome. Awesome. So I'll say it as well. And I think we have to finish there. Gosh is saying best watering holes in Warsaw are Złoty Tarasy Gallery. Well, I'll remember that. I will come and see you soon, I think, for a visit. I hope you can show me around. Awesome. Okay, it's very nice to share with you today. Don't forget, on Saturday I've got a lesson about political correctness. And there's a lot of good phrases to learn there. It's very, very funny, going to be very funny as well. You know, things we shouldn't say and what we can say instead. Thanks for joining us today. To download more free lessons and all of the Talkalot materials absolutely free of charge, please visit englishbanana.com/talkalot.